Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Radio Statler, hope number 9. We have with us Tech Miami, who includes...
I'm Alex, president of Hack Miami. Been working with the group for about 4 years now.
And I'm Rod, and I've been with the group for 3 years.
I'm Tuna. I'm a hang around, general, ball scratcher, groupie kind of guy.
Alrighty. So, gentlemen, what are we doing here this evening? Tell us your story.
Well, basically, we started getting together in 2008. We meet every 2 weeks, and the way we run our hackerspace is it's not really we don't have a permanent location. We're kind of transient. We move from place to place as places accept us. And we the way our meetings work is we meet every 2 weeks, and we've got first half of the meeting will be presentations on some kind of infosec topic, and the second half of the meeting will be a lab where it's people can actually. Engage and work on the concepts that were discussed during the presentation, and it's been pretty consistent, and we're getting pretty good groups out to the events now. We average about 20 to 30 heads for our events, and it's been really, really fun for years.
Okay, right on.
Yeah, I grew up in Miami too, and about just before Hack Miami started, I'd say maybe like 6-7 years ago, I don't know, something like that, I was entering into the hacker scene, all we had was like the 2600 mall meetings, which were kind of lame, no offense. People just standing around payphones, like talking about things, telling the feds are coming and watching us, but really wasn't like that at all. It was just a bunch of, people thinking they were cool. But, I left out, saw some amazing hackerspaces out in D.C., but I was really pleasantly surprised when I came back down to Miami and, Hack Miami was really getting together. They were doing, bi-weekly meetings where there would be different presentations offered by, people that were participating in Hack Miami. So it wasn't just like, paid speakers or guest speakers that came in from out of town. It's everyone in the community pitching in and talking about something they know. And that really, I saw that model in D.C. that worked really well with Nova Hackers, and it was really awesome to see that kind of thing when they came back home to Miami. Beautiful.
Right on, right on.
Right. Well, basically, what we are doing here is we have a talk by Alex, and what we try to do is basically we're gonna have the talk, and the talk comes with the CPF. We're running a CPF. The CPF is a command and control CPF. And what we did with the CPF is we have several Clientware versions of the different types of attack vectors that you can use against certain hosts, vulnerable hosts, this CPF goes along with the talk that Alex gave today. So what we're trying to do is basically, okay, we give you a talk of what the current malware is, what the current threats are, and then you can go like the CPF and pretty much verify it and learn, obviously. The purpose of this is I believe offense should drive defense.
Right.
So by that, then once you play the CPF and you learn, try to put yourself in the shoes of the bad guys, then it would be better for you at the end to defend yourself.
Yeah, and during the talk that was given today, basically I went over SpyEye and Zeus and a few other well-known exploit kits like the Black Hole exploit kit and the Eleanor exploit kit. And within the last couple years, there have been a bunch of public vulnerabilities that have been released within those crimeware kits. So basically, you're able to kind of turn the tables on the attacker and take over their the systems that they're using to attack others with. And to actually do that in a live environment is risky because it's still considered attacking a system, and you can still get in trouble for that. But what we've done is Rod ended up putting together this real comprehensive CTF lab environment that features all these different kits and that has these known public vulnerabilities so that people can get their feet wet and actually understand how the attack vectors work and how to take over the systems.
Okay, I've got a question from our IRC chat live here. CTF, capture the flag?
What's IRC?
This is the chat window.
You mean AOL?
it's the AOLs.
Right.
Right. I think he answered a question.
Capture the Flag is a game that's a simulated hacking environment where there are different challenges that where the different systems need to be compromised, and each challenge is worth a set number of points. So okay. It's basically a hacking challenge. What can you break into? How fast can you break into it? And then it's scored based on who can do it the quickest.
Yeah, this is
okay. Cool.
The one we have here is more like a red team type of CDF. You really defend against other teams or players. It usually ends up being the case, but you pretty much are attacking. This is a red team CDF. That's pretty much it. It's kind of based on a real story where one day we were kind of frustrated and we were researching malware. And I said, what would we do if one day we just get tired of this and go back and stick it back to whoever the owner of that mod that is?
Okay.
And then that came out to me and I said, you know what? I'm going to create a CDF that replicates all this.
Okay.
And with that in mind, then that's where the idea came from. And that's pretty much it.
It's really nice. I've actually got to play the CTF because I wasn't involved with creating it, which was great. I mean, from a CTF perspective, it was more like, I have to do pen testing for a living sometimes. It's horrible. Everyone's like, oh, I want to be a pen tester. It kind of sucks. But, the game does actually emulate, that. It has, a real-life network feel. You're not just, running Metasploit to get all the flags. You can get one flag, with Metasploit, just like Autocone. But, a lot of it is, going through different web applications by hand, finding out what versions they are, dorking for different things inside of the application or fuzzing for it. It's beautiful. It's really cool. It really is engaging mentally to play. It's not just like your typical BS. And it really, when you're actually having to do this in real life, it has that same feel. It's some of the excitement. There is always an excitement when you get that shell. That first shell to come back. It's somewhat of busting a nut, I guess. It's really good.
Right on.
Yeah, it tries to be as realistic as possible. You connect in, you get an IP address, you look for other IP addresses, and you start hitting them, whether or not they're players or challenges in the game.
Okay.
Right, and that's pretty much it. I had been proposed to VLAN it, for example, and I refused to VLAN it because when you are on the internet, you're not VLAN. You're a sports card divided. So that's the point of the game. If you had to defend it against other players, then, that's pretty much the scenario that you are into when you are in real life. So.
Okay. So this is something you're, continuously doing?
Well, we try to do it by chapters. This is the one we brought here is chapter one.
Okay.
And we're going to be having chapter two at the ISSA in South Florida on August 11th. And then we're going to Tampa. I try to take it to community places, pretty much, and in cons, if possible.
So it's like a traveling thing.
Yeah.
And as time goes on, the challenges evolve, as more vulnerabilities are released, and new techniques come out, they're integrated into the game.
Okay, right on.
What's up with AOL? Any questions from AOL?
Let's see, somebody's asking me about it in a later chat.
Is that Big Boy 69?
Oh yeah, I got somebody. Yeah, they're just giving somebody else crap.
Play more.
Yeah, we're not gonna play into that.
I see someone saying they're bringing a CTF to the Netherlands. That would be awesome.
Oh yeah?
I'd love to do that. Oh, for the CCC, for the Chaos Computer Camp.
I think they're asking you to come to the Netherlands.
Yeah, that's what they're asking. That's if we could bring the CTF to the Chaos Computer Camp in the Netherlands.
That would be a pleasure to do. We need to talk.
Yeah, there's some logistics involved in it.
What about setting it up on the VPN?
The thing about the VPN, though, is that, and I've been proposed to put it online, and the best way to play it is live. You realize, for example, today, a lot of people that was there, that were there playing, they were like, the music is awesome and the video, so I'm all pumped up and I'm here very excited. And I want to make this a live experience. Because the minute I put it online, then it's pretty much like any other. So yeah, we try to do it like a live experience.
It could be live. What's the what's that big Hackerspace VPN they have?
Oh yeah,
what is that called?
The CCC they have.
Yeah,
computer club. Yeah, I mean,
we would love to go to CCC.
I always wanted to go to CCC. I just said there are some considerations with
Moving all that hardware and the software,
the hardware and the tech tools over borders. Yeah, there might be some legal also because we use some of the targets are very high encryption, and I think we may fall in the ITAR, and I will have to pretty much modify it in order to take it outside.
But then what about the hacker tools in Germany thing? Isn't there like a rule for that, or am I...
Right, that's another good question for whoever asked it. Apparently there's in some of these places, the chapter one is pretty much a botnet. And if you pass that through, if you put an antivirus, it's going to freak out and say, oh my god, there's all this bad stuff in here.
So antivirus works?
Some countries... in the chapter 2, which we will be releasing soon, there are some screenshots where there's a Sue screenshot and there is a known antivirus that says you're protected, and you can see the screenshot from the CNC. So there are considerations that we need to know, because obviously the idea is to learn and not to get into trouble. So, but we will certainly explore taking it anywhere we can go. We'll be glad to go.
No, apparently there's a Dutch camp in 2013 that you might have some enthusiasm.
Yeah, go ahead and reach out to us and we can start. Yeah.
Are the Dutch's ovens?
Okay, moving right along.
Oh my god.
Got another question. Can you hack some hardware drivers on CTF?
One of those, that one little like...
Right, well, when during Hacker Halted, Hacker Halted, I came up with, that was Hacker Halted 2011. Yeah. I came up with some challenges that were hardware related, and I had an Arduino that has some HTTP parameter, and if you knew how to change it, then it will light up an LED, for example. I had a Shiva plug, which is a plug server, and what I did with this plug server is I put in an LED, so you had to root the box, and once you root the box, if you compile, there was a certain code that you could compile, it actually changed what the LED said.
So it was that hard?
Yeah.
It was a parameter we found.
You first had to root the plug server, which by itself could be a CDM. There's a new challenge about it. So yeah. So we do. And actually, I had this idea. I was gonna put a drone that was gonna be flying around the tables, and then I changed my mind because I said the first thing they're gonna do is they're gonna hack it and they're gonna crash it against all their team. So it was gonna be fly me
CTF
flag.
We should get a blow up.
I was sure that someone was gonna hack it and then crash it against some other teams, because
we should do like a Farmville mock-up where we get a bunch of blow up farm animals and stick Zigbees in them and have a mesh Zigbee farm animal network of blow up sex dolls.
Well, we were going to use those for the flying drones. But yeah, I mean, I'm always open to bring new stuff. And, sometimes it takes a lot of research. I do this almost as a hobby. During the time that I get to research and work on it, then I'll do it.
We could even get like a whistle to call them, like a little 2600 whistle, and we blow the whistle, and all the farm animals will come to the front of the building.
Sorry, that was an inside joke over here. Skip ahead, please. Go ahead and the next question.
Pipe Piper in Manhattan.
How can people find out when you're going to be in there? So this is something you tour with, is that correct?
It's about someone that wants to host it and makes it easier for us to go. Obviously there's some traveling, there's some shipping costs, and I would love to go everywhere, but it can be a hassle, I take the server because I have refused to put it online. So, like, for example, I have a server here and run an ESXi. I have a, I maxed it out, And I take it everywhere I go. I make it as affordable as I can, but the point is to do it on the side as it was a real network. So.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and usually every time we have an upcoming CTF, it's pretty heavily promoted on hackmiami.org. So if people just check out hackmiami.org every now and then, they can see where we're going to be doing it.
All right, hackmiami.org.
That's also where local people in South Florida can come find out about the meetings and when they are and where they are. Since it is kind of a transient space, it's not like, you know, food truck on Twitter, but there is some advance notice about when the meetings are and, you know, we'll be talking.
So. All right, if you reach out to us and you want to host it, we'll be glad to take a look at it. If we have a space in the town, we'll go. For sure.
Right on.
Okay. Yeah, Rod and I are not accustomed to traveling at all.
Right, yeah, well, I practically live on a plane, so...
It's a shame with, you know, we live in such a beautiful place.
Right.
The rest of the country sucks. It's kind of hard, too. I guess, like, one of the things, too, people don't think about when it comes to Miami and, like, CTFs and hacking in general is we don't have winter. So it's, like, year-round beaches, you know.
Oh, yeah, no.
It's never stuck.
Yeah, no, I live down there myself.
Oh, you live down that way as well?
Yeah, around Orlando.
Oh, yeah, it's like South Georgia.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
But yeah, so you know, it's never cold, so we never like have that winter pull. So you know, it's kind of a different community. We're always, you know, out hacking all the time or whatnot. We don't have that cold winter stuff to sit in your house and do nothing. It's always beautiful out.
It just gets nice out, and then it gets really hot.
Right now it's just really hot.
It's about the same as this room right here.
Everyone keeps saying that. I'm fine though.
Yeah, exactly, because you live in Florida.
That's why they stuck me in here.
Anything new on AOL?
Yeah, it's AOL.
No.
How many people are actually listening to this right now?
Well, we got like 32 people that are supposedly online, but only one of them's giving us questions.
Oh, nice.
Where are the rest of you? Is there anybody on the Justin feed asking questions?
No, I don't
think. Where are the hoes?
Yeah, we can't answer that one.
So, Rod, I know that you put a lot of time into the CTF, and I know you're going to hate this question, and you know, I think you know exactly where it's going, but you know, do you ever consider after you retire a chapter, maybe opening up some of them and releasing some of the VMs?
I have considered it, but as I consider it, then other opportunities to take it somewhere have come up, so when I'm sure that I won't be taking it anywhere anymore, then yeah, I'll
when chapter one's retired, like chapter two is about to come out at the ISSA meeting in August.
Right, I was talking to some people actually from the Unallocated during the USCC, and I was telling Brian that maybe at one point
cryptos. I spent some time with that space. It kept me kept me warm in the winter.
I thought that maybe at one point I would just make copies of it and then I'll put it somewhere or give it away. Yeah,
we could throw it on torrent, you know.
Right.
But it's really awesome. I mean, from multiple perspectives, even just like, you know, typical security evaluations, because it does really emulate,
right,
you know, a corporate office environment, especially, you know, Zeus everywhere.
Right.
And you get to go through all the steps of, you know, information gathering and gaining access, maintaining access, and you have to use chained exploits to get anywhere in the game. So it's it's really detailed and incredibly fun.
So I take it as, like, they stuck me in here because I'm the new guy. I take it as someone who's really just a novice in all this, that it would be pretty difficult for someone like myself to get involved in.
No, it's intentionally made so that people, and like anyone, can join and learn the process and learn the techniques.
Okay,
and,
outstanding.
Escalating level, or
right, the way the challenges are structured, you start off with very simple, easy challenges,
okay,
and it goes higher and it gets complicated as you go up. So,
did you say fuck boys? Oh, hit pause. Oh, sorry.
Oh,
I thought he said fuck boys.
What's that? Right. Yeah. The way it's structured is the challenges get more difficult as you go. But one of the things that I consider before I created the CTF is that I play CTFs myself all the time. And when I started, it was very frustrating. I was not getting anywhere. I would sit down and spend hours and hours and hours, and then you start feeling stupid. Then you feel worthless because you study, you work hard, you try harder, and you still get nowhere. So I said, well, maybe we can spread out a little bit the level of difficulty of these challenges. So that way, it becomes a learning experience. So
right.
It builds a little confidence in those players that are beginning. And then from there on, then they know to what point they can do and what they need to do to go to the next level. Because if you make a CTF for the 10%, the highest 10%, which is people are incredibly smart and have been doing this for years, mm-hmm. that's great. That's awesome. But there's a lot of people that below that 10% that are working, that are faced with these things every day.
Sure, sure.
And they keep asking, okay, I don't know how to do that. Where do I start? So,
sure.
So that was one of the considerations that I took before I created this CTF.
Okay, outstanding.
Now, so far, most of what I found is that when I was visualizing who will play this, I was thinking pretty much of a system administrator, either a Linux or Windows.
Okay.
That is in a network between 15 to 50 nodes, which is an average of a small business. So there are certain things that if you do that, you will know certain services, certain applications, directory services, for example, firewalls, et cetera, et cetera. And most of all, if you're dealing with users, you will know that they click on everything and they get infected every time. So that's how I thought I would conceive it. I would just take a sample of what we were seeing in the field,
right.
And then make it in a way that people can learn and enjoy it.
Okay, right on. What about hardware? Can you do this sort of thing on anything, or is it?
What do you mean? Are they asking what type of server?
I got somebody asking how much hardware is needed to run this sort of thing.
Well, it depends. It basically depends of what your model.
I guess they're asking if they wanted to set one up themselves. Maybe?
If you wanted to set up one yourself, then basically you need a server that can host several VMs, so you don't have to have a server for each thing. So you need a reliable hypervisor. I recommend ESXi. It's a ESXi is solid. And with ESXi, you need hardware that can run ESXi. And then from there on, then you can rate it if you want it. You can put a lot of RAM if you want. You can use an SSD for cache, et cetera, et cetera. But obviously, if your budget is low, then you know you can use a software-based hypervisor such as VirtualBox or VirtualPC, and then start from there, and then try to go with stuff that resembles what you do, an unpatched Windows 7, for example, an unpatched 2003 R2 or 2008. Stuff like that, and then if you research about the vulnerabilities, if you go into places like ExploitDB, for example, if you go to places where there are bulletins about vulnerabilities, then try to replicate them. If you're a sysadmin or you work in IT, it actually is interesting because sometimes when you build the challenges, you got to modify permissions, and you gotta modify permissions to make the exploit work and to obviously allow the player to at one point conquer the target.
Has to be configured to be vulnerable.
Right, exactly. But think about this. If you are a sysadmin, if you're on your job, many times you're placed with an app that someone will tell you doesn't work, it's broken. Well, that's the same
right.
thing. I mean, you have to go in and
it's functionality versus security.
Right, exactly. Right.
I mean, when I about 2 years ago, we were set with the challenge of creating a CTF herself. I worked for a team. We ran a CTF at DoD Cybercrime, and we wanted to go as simple and as small as possible. So we wrote a little Python scoreboard application, We used two laptops that were just running Backtrack and some scripts to just reboot the boxes after the users were completed with the CTF. And we ran the whole thing on a Mac Mini with 8 gigs of RAM, which was really cool. I mean, Fusion, I think, you know, from a resource perspective, I don't want to get into a big, you know, talk about it, but Fusion, as far as resources for running as a hypervisor itself, right, is pretty efficient.
So basically, you did this whole thing. You used the Mac Mini as your server.
Yeah, we used it as a hypervisor. So we had eight separate systems running, eight separate operating systems running on the Mac Mini, and it was able to handle it. I mean, it was not as big as Rod CTF. It was just a two-user CTF, but it was only set for an hour. It wasn't like an eight-hour event, and it worked. I mean, it worked really well, and it traveled well too. So we didn't have the big bulk of it.
Well, actually, that's a good point, because when I did the POC for the first episode, it was done on a Mac. I had a MacBook, and I maximized it. I basically went to a third-party seller of memory, and then opened it, put the RAM in, replaced the hard drive for a higher capacity, and then I started building my VMs. But what I realized is that once you go into a semi-production environment, such as, you know, you got people running MMAPs with 20, 30, 40, 50 people, then obviously then you have to start adding some more power. But yeah, you can do that.
We noticed that the biggest one was Windows, the NetRPC crapping out after a while, after everyone popped
with it. Certain services, you know, to that point, sometimes I had to add, and that's the beauty of VMware. You can add another CPU, you can add more RAM.
Yeah.
So it's real neat to see how it behaves when you've got like 50 different people hitting it with exploits and just watching how it works. If it works.
Right. There's also a lot of Mac Mini replicas. I mean, you know, you can get that same hardware pretty decently. I never liked the way that workstation handled resources, VMware workstation, but I wouldn't see it as a problem for someone to be able to create a CTF with $300 worth of hardware.
You definitely can do it.
I know I got a couple of extra computers just lying around the house that could be repurposed for something.
I'm not one for repurposing computers. I it's horrible. I just, you know, I throw them out. I like to be wasteful. You know, I drink Fiji water, you know. But, you know, only because, like, I don't like the heat. Like when I was a little kid, you know, I was, like, a super dork. We were dumpster diving, and we found, like, 60 1U blades. My mom fucking loved that electric bill. It was awesome. Girls come over and they hear, like, these fans, like, spinning for, like, 30 or 60 freaking, you know, 1U boxes. Like, what the fuck? So it's like, you know, I really love the whole just, you know, I have one computer at my house, like, that does, like, operating systems and stuff, you know. I have little media center things, but, I mean, pretty much it's just one computer for all of my systems, and I have, like, you use DSX, you know, server for it.
Right. You know, as long as quiet. It's a Xeon, if you have a Xeon, usually 55 plus, you can actually run ESXi, which is,
I mean, that's where I host buttfuckers.me and infostreet.co.
All right.
Well, that was an interesting comment. All right.
On that note, we do have another talk coming in, so we got to wrap things up. But just quick one. Around the room one more time, let everybody know. You've already had a talk here today?
I spoke earlier this afternoon, and it'll probably be online sometime.
All right, and tell everybody which one that was again so they can find it.
Yeah, Modern Crimeware Tools and Techniques.
Okay, so that's a talk you want to find on the Hope website later on if you want to get the full story on this. Guys, thank you very much for coming out. Very informative.
Thanks for having us on.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and, you know, Anti-Pedophilia Task Force.